Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, we continue our coverage of the 2022 Smithers municipal elections with the first two conversations with incumbent councillors vying to keep their seats on Smithers Council come October 15th. Frank Ray is looking for his fifth consecutive term on council, while John Bukema is hoping for his second. Both are very experienced councillors, and they lay out their plans for the community if re-elected come October, why they chose to stay in the running, what challenges may lay ahead, and what projects and opportunities they want to see through to make sure that Smithers is one of the most desired places to live in Northwest BC. Stay with us.
My name is Frank Ray. I'm coming to you from Smithers. I'm running for my fifth term, possible fifth term, as councillor in the town of Smithers.
Great, Frank. Thanks so much for being with us today. As you mentioned, you're no stranger to municipal elections, possibly heading into your fifth term if you're successful in this race. This time around, you know, what's different in your platform? What are you trying to talk to potential voters about?
I don't think actually there's a lot of difference in my platform. I've always kind of been focused on the basics. I think maybe the thing that's different this time is just knowing how many potential new, you know, there's going to be at least four new councillors. And I think maybe just a little more of a focus on my experience. But we've done a lot of things over the last 14 years, and I think I'm going to bring some, hopefully bring some experience to the table and some knowledge of the context in which the decisions were made, because it's very difficult when you first come on council. You have all these ideas, you find out there's a lot of reasons why different ideas don't work. That was a big part of my first term, was having a bunch of ideas and finding out they didn't work. But I think to provide a bit of leadership and mentorship to new counselors, and you know, keep that focus on trying to be as financially prudent as we can, make sure we're focused on our infrastructure and stuff, and really to some of the newer kind of responsibilities that local government has taken on, trying to fit that into the old kind of more traditional responsibilities.
One thing you mentioned there, Frank, is there's only two of you incumbents, two incumbent councillors, rather, coming back to the table, potentially coming back to the table. You know, what are you anticipating if you are successful and you do have, a large table of new councillors, first-time councillors? What are you anticipating your role needing to be as the veteran councillor come October 15th?
I think, you know, first of all, we're in the middle of our budget deliberations right now, and it spans over the election. We have had a lot of the candidates tuning in and watching, but I think just even to provide some continuity and some context for the decisions that we've made already, of course, they can always be walked back by the new council, but it does give some history as to how this budget process came about as opposed to different processes we've used. And I think, hopefully that will help the staff, that they don't have to walk back as far right to square one for everybody. And then going forward, just how to run, you know, how to take part in a respectful meeting, and just, you know, the various procedures around the table that, you know, how council meetings work, how committee meetings work. So hopefully I can be a mentor that way. And but at the same time, you know, leave room for people's new ideas and listen to them. And yeah, just kind of model that respect. The last few councils I've been on, actually pretty much every council I've been on, no matter how much we disagree politically, we've always been very respectful to each other around the table and outside of council as well. It's about the ideas. It's not about the personalities. So just hoping I can continue to model that as well.
Yeah, of course. Another reason, you know, or another question I have is, you know, you've been on council for quite some time now. Why did you choose to run again?
Well, I think the thing with council is that your job is never done. You know, the issues kind of remain the same, and things don't move super fast in government, especially if you're advocating to senior levels of government. It takes a long time to get things done. I just kind of feel like we accomplished a lot this last term, but there's still lots of work to do on housing. There's lots of work to do. I'm kind of excited that things have kind of come around where we're starting to look at a little more planning for the future infrastructure needs to make sure that the money's there when we do need new or replacement infrastructure. So I just felt like, you know, I still had a lot of energy to give and hopefully a lot of ideas that can move those things along.
I guess, Frank, what are some of the things you feel that were left undone? You mentioned housing. I know, you know, we just spent almost $2 million on revitalizing the landscape on Main Street. Obviously, there's some other infrastructure needs that are needed now and also down the road with some aging infrastructure. You know, we also have a situation with childcare spaces in the community that I know has been getting a lot of traction around town. What are some of the things that you're hoping to dive into this next round?
Well, a lot of things are being driven by other levels of government, of course. The childcare is one of them. You know, we have tools in the municipal box to move that along in some ways. And, you know, I'm really passionate. It's kind of not a thing you would think of somebody being passionate about, but I'm really passionate about making sure that we get the areas of our river banks that are being eroded and in danger of eroding further. I want to make sure that gets done. There is new drinking water regulations have changed a little bit. We may have to get our water treated. So we want to make sure that gets done if it's needed. We have to work on the wastewater lagoon situation. So there's a lot of large infrastructure needs that are there. Our roads and sidewalks, we've been working towards getting to a spend that can help keep them at least in the condition that they're in and hopefully better. The provincial government and the Regional Benefits Alliance have just signed an MOU. So hopefully we'll start seeing sometime this coming term, those monies start to flow in. And I would like to, you know, I'd like to really have my say at the table around how that money gets spent. Not sure how much it will be, obviously, but that benefit of alliance is meant to help us with our infrastructure here in the Northwest. So like to make sure that that money gets spent properly.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my other questions. I know, you know, obviously that's been going on for some time and it sounds like the MOU is a step in the right direction, but what do you feel is still needed on that file? As I know that, you know, we've seen a lot of major developments take place over the last number of years here in the Northwest with very little of that money coming directly back into communities, as you mentioned. What do you feel is kind of the next step that is needed, especially for Smithers in that file?
Well, I just think to make sure that, you know, the entire alliance continues to bring that message to the province. An MOU is awesome. It's a step in the right direction, but we need to start seeing the money actually flow in a predictable manner. And I think, you know, that's once that's there, it's going to make it a lot easier on all of our communities to provide the services that they kind of go along. When you get development, you get new mines, you get pipelines, regardless of whether you agree with them, when they come in, there's certain infrastructure that we need to provide, that there's extra people working here, you know, hospitals, stuff like that. Obviously, we don't provide the hospitals, but we provide the infrastructure that gets you to the hospital. And so just to make sure that we keep that pressure up and make sure that the money does start to flow. It took 7 years to get the MOU signed. I'm hoping it doesn't take 7 years for the money to start flowing.
Obviously, you've been on council for some time. What, when you think about the past years and the accomplishments, what kind of stands out in your mind?
There's a few things that we've done. You know, I'm actually proud of the work that we've done on housing. You know, when I started out on council, you couldn't have a secondary suite, you couldn't have a carriage house. One of the councils said I was on was forward thinking enough to see that we needed more room to expand. So that's how we ended up with the Ambleside. You know, I'm actually, it's something that stands out in my mind. I'm not really sure the community feels quite the same way, but I'm really proud. I was on the oversight committee for the second sheet of ice to make sure it came in on budget. And so not only did we make sure that was done, but we also tried to make it more than it was just meant to be a practice sheet, but we made it more than that. We made it so we could put seating in there if there's money in the future for that. We kind of made sure it was going to be an amenity that lasted for a long time and that we got our money's worth out of what we spent on it. There's a lot. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that really likes to pump himself up too much, but I am proud of some of the progress we've made. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but you know, even the progress on the asset management planning, compared to where we were 14 years ago, we're a lot further along. It wasn't all me, but I like to think I have my voice at the table, helping move it along for sure.
You know, one other thing, Frank, just before we end here, you know, you have quite a bit of experience on council, and I guess at the end of the day, you know, what's your pitch to voters this time around? What makes you the best person still for the job?
Well, I'm not going to say I'm the best councillor there, but I like to think that my experience counts for a lot, and I like to think that I'm consistent. I don't think I'm a lot different. I've grown a little bit and understood a little better that the role of the municipality is changing. But I like to think that I've always kind of been a common sense voice, voice of reason, voice of fiscal responsibility, which is different than just cutting taxes and cutting services. It's about making sure that the money that the town invests in infrastructure and staffing, that it's sustainable and that it makes sense.
All right, Frank, great. We'll leave it there for now, but we thank you so much for your time today, and of course, good luck on the campaign trail.
Thanks a lot, Dan, and thanks for giving me this opportunity to speak to everybody in Smithers.
Coming up next, my conversation with incumbent councillor John Bukema.
My name is John Bukema, and I'm sitting in my office in Smithers, B.C.
Great, John. Thanks so much for being with us today. Obviously, you're not new to election campaigns, and looks like you're one of two incumbents coming back to the table, throwing your hat in the ring. Maybe tell me a little bit about why you decided to run again this time around.
I have given some thought to that question, Dan, and I actually have quite a number of answers, not just one. First of all, I must confess that I really just enjoyed my first term. I've also invested a lot of time and energy the last 4 years into learning the job, and I'd love to have opportunity to build on what I've learned. I've also really come to love this town. I've lived here now for 23 years. I'd love to serve it for another four. The last 4 years, I've also developed a real appreciation for the town staff, for those who work there. I'd love to have opportunity to work with them again for another 4 years. And my other reason would probably be a strange reason to a lot of people, but I'm a meeting person. And when I say that to some people, they can't imagine why someone would enjoy meetings, but I do, and I always have. On average, I've probably had close to 10 meetings a month during my first term, some of them being council meetings, some of them being boards and committees where I serve as the town council representative. And through those meetings, I've had opportunity to meet a lot of people I wouldn't have met otherwise, a lot of fine people. Recently, I chaired a couple of finance committee meetings, and I have to chair another one on Monday. And I must confess, I just find it really interesting to see how meetings come together and how council and staff work collaboratively to achieve common goals. So, yeah, I guess those would be my reasons for running again.
Those sound like good reasons, especially if you enjoy meetings. That's what some people would look for in a counselor, of course. There are many meetings, many committees and boards to be on. I guess the next question I have, you know, like I mentioned before, you're not new to this. I believe this is your second time around. And what has changed in your platform? What are you trying to talk to potential voters about this time?
I mean, when I ran 4 years ago, you just come up with a platform, but it's not really based on a whole lot of experience because I was new to the game. Now that I feel like I know a little more, I'm coming out with a rack card that's going to go into mailboxes in about a week and a half. And on there, I identified some of the challenges that I think face town council. And I guess some of those challenges would kind of be my platform. I identified things like this. Working collaboratively to ensure that Smithers is an affordable place to live and do business while maintaining the services that make it such an incredible place to call home. And I've learned in the last 4 years that that's a really delicate balance. If you cut services, people aren't happy. But if the town becomes too expensive a place to live, that also doesn't make people happy. And it's trying to find that sweet spot. That was challenging for us as council the last 4 years, especially during the COVID years and during this year where there's been a lot of inflation. Another part of my platform or challenge I've identified as a councillor is the importance of funding an asset management plan that ensures town assets can be repaired and replaced as needed. And we have a lot of aging infrastructure in this town. A lot of towns all across Canada do. And it's expensive, but we're trying to make sure that we're setting aside significant amounts of money every year as we do the budget so that assets can be replaced and repaired. I also identified the importance of maintaining a viable airport. Having an airport is so important to a town like Smithers. And especially during the COVID years, as council, we decided to put a lot of grant money we received into making sure the airports stayed alive during those tough years, because we recognize how crucial Smithers Airport is to this town. I also identified the importance of ensuring our town has sufficient RCMP resources. That's a huge expense for our town, but it's a very important expense. I also identified how important it is that we engage with higher levels of government so they're aware of the financial challenges that face small communities like Smithers. And RCMP costs would be one of them. As soon as a town is over 5,000 people, it has to fund a very significant portion of its RCMP costs. And we're just over that 5,000 threshold. And it's a big expense for a small town like ours. So Something I didn't identify in the rack card that I'd like to put in mailboxes is I'd still love to see a new library happen. I've been the town council rep on the library board for 4 years, and I served on the library board for 2 years before that. But again, I fully recognize that a new library is only a possibility if we can get some very significant grant money from both federal and provincial levels of government. I mean, I could go on and on, but those would be a few planks in my platform, if you want to call them that.
I know the town deals with quite a bit, and that oftentimes when, you know, as you mentioned, when you're new coming into it, you may not have all the, you know, privy information about, you know, aging infrastructure, especially, you know, major priorities. You mentioned the airport being one of them. You know, what are some of the other assets that if you're successful on October 15th, that you're hoping to dig into to try to generate a bit more revenue for the community? You know, we all know municipalities can't run deficits, which is a tough thing to do, especially at this day and age. And what do you see as part of the vision of other such assets that could be leveraged to start bringing in more revenue to the community coffers?
We have two main sources of revenue. It's the taxes that property owners pay and the taxes that businesses pay. Those are kind of fixed sources of revenue. I mean, we do have additional houses being built in Smithers, which means additional property tax revenues. But really, towns like ours are very dependent on a lot of grant funding. And I think town staff has done a good job of applying for grants, and we continue every year to apply for a number of them. But again, the challenge is if it's a provincial grant, you're competing with communities all over BC. If it's a federal grant, you're competing with thousands of communities all over Canada for the funds that are in that pot of money. I think we have been quite successful with grant funding, but there is a continual need for significant grants from higher levels of government, because it's really impossible for us to say that's really the only place where a lot of additional money can come from. Mm-hmm. We do hope that the day comes when there's more of a sharing of resource revenues from the northwest corner of BC. There's a lot of mines. There's an LNG pipeline that's being built right now. There are other parts of BC where some of the resource revenue is being shared with local governments, and that's our hope, too, that becomes a reality for the communities in northwest BC, and the various levels of government are working hard to try and achieve that in their conversations with the provincial government.
Yeah, we spoke to Frank Ray a little bit about the Resource Benefit Alliance, Northwest Resource Benefit Alliance, and what that could look like. Hopefully, we know that there was an MOU signed recently, and I know it is the will of not just Smithers Council, but, you know, all the council's regional districts across the Northwest here to see that come to fruition, to bring more revenue back into the local communities. But I guess the last thing I have for you, John, I guess maybe a two-part question here. We only got a few minutes left, but, you know, you and Councillor Ray are the only two incumbents throwing your hats back into the ring. So if you are successful come October 15th, you will be joined by some rookie councillors. And I guess, how do you see that dynamic shaping up, knowing that it may be a little bit of, you know, a bumpy road to kind of get people's feet wet, new councillors' feet wet? And also on the same note, you know, what makes you still the best person for the job?
I'm going to answer your second question first. Why do I see myself as the best person for the job? I don't really like that question. I would never say that I'm the best person for any job, because I think all nine candidates bring unique giftings and skill sets to the table. What I would say about myself is I think I have a wide variety of life and leadership experiences. And I would also say that the past 4 years of serving on council and serving as the town council rep on the finance committee, the transit committee, the library board, the pool advisory board, Smithers Skate Park Society. They've taught me a lot about council procedure, about how the town operates, and it's also given me 4 years of organizational history and 4 years of knowing why certain decisions were made and other ones were not made. I've done a lot of reading the last 4 years. This coming week's council agenda, believe it or not, is 636 pages. And all that investment of time preparing for meetings, I think it's taught me a lot about the intricacies of how the town functions. So I would never say I'm the best person for the job, but what I probably would say is I think I've developed some valuable experience the last 4 years. And in my opinion, I think experience is always something important to have at the council table. How will town council be different? It'll probably be a lot different. The reality is we could have 4 new faces, we could have 5, we could have 6, we could even have 7. A new mayor and 6 entirely new councillors. And that means there's going to be a lot of learning that has to take place. I remember that feeling myself of coming in and saying, wow, there is a lot of procedure, a lot of information to learn now that I'm a councillor. I'm very happy to see that Diana Plouffe, the CAO of the town, has a very robust plan for how to do council orientation for the 4, 5, 6, or 7 new faces. And I have no idea what will happen on the 15th. When I talk to people on the street, it seems like that's how a lot of folks are feeling. But my one hope is that whatever the new council looks like, I hope it can work as collaboratively as the past council has. In a society, and this is only my opinion, but in a society where it's becoming more and more difficult for people to give a respectful listen to others who might think differently than them, in a society where there seems to be a lot of distrust and division, I think the council of the last 4 years has really modeled respect and shown that politics doesn't have to be adversarial. Yeah. And that's one of the things I really enjoyed about the last 4 years.
Yeah, I think most people could agree with you there, John. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. We thank you so much for your time, and good luck on the campaign trail in the next few weeks here.
Thank you, Dan. I hope you have a good day.
You too. You take care.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.